When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I did ask God, please don't let me lose myself becoming whatever people think a pastor's supposed to be. Like, if there's a way that I can do this and do it in a way that is honest about who I am, because I think I was afraid that I would have to become someone I'm not. I'll grow. I'll change as you convict me and transform. I'm not locked into this version of who I am, but this is where I am. And if you can meet me where I am and use me where I am, then I'll say yes. And no one is more surprised than myself when God shows up in those moments.
Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era Podcast with me, Gia Peppers. Sarah Jakes Roberts needs no introduction. She is a powerhouse, to say the least, in many areas. She's a mother, a wife, a faith leader, a pastor, a New York Times best-selling author, soon to be again with her new book, Power Moves. Whether she's gracing the Time 100 list or our screens on YouTube with one of her powerful sermons or podcast episodes, she is one of the most important voices of our time. But off camera, off screen, and when she's off of the pulpit, she is a woman whose relationship with God and healing have taken her from being an isolated teenage girl who got pregnant to a woman whose story has helped so many find their fullness and love in God. We met a couple years ago when she was dropping her Woman Evolve book. And later that year, I was a part of the Woman Evolve conference. And since then, she's been such an amazing friend. Even though we're friends, I was a little bit nervous about this conversation, y'all, so you will see it. But bear with me. It's so special. Either way, I wanted you to hear this powerful story that she shares with us of the most impactful, some of the most impactful eras of her life and what she learned as she got through them. A very special episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast, starts now. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Healed Girl Era podcast. I'm Gia Peppers, and y'all, we finally did it. My good sis, Sarah Jakes Roberts, is here in the building. I am so honored to have her, and I am so excited to get into this conversation. My good sis, Sarah, welcome.
Hi, friend. How are you?
I am so happy that you are here. And it's like an out-of-body experience because we haven't ever done a one-on-one interview in person. We've only ever done
IG.
Yeah. So I'm like, we've never done this, but I love that we're finally
doing
it.
But we do a lot of one-on-one.
We do a lot of one-on-ones.
Just our cameras and microphones.
Right. So y'all gonna have fun today.
Or children bothering us. One-on-one might be a stretch. It's like three or four of us.
Because yes. And it's still one-on-40. Yeah. I got gang, she got gang, but I'm so excited and so honored to have you here, and I'm so ready to get into this conversation. So first, I want to start with a word of prayer.
Okay.
Because I always like to start
with
a word of prayer. And everybody pray. Amen.
Amen. Right,
here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to fellowship. Thank you for aligning the timing so that it could happen right now. Father, thank you for my sister, Sarah Jakes Roberts. Thank you for the call in her life. Thank you for all that she's said yes to today. Father, just let this conversation be what you need it to be. Yes. Let it be brilliant. Let it be beautiful. Let it be honest. Let it be fun. And let the other viewer, the person that you called to this interview online, on podcast, wherever, feel something that
reminds them that they have all that they need to create, co-create with you the life that they want. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this moment. Thank you, Father. Anoint my voice, remove all nerves and anxiety, and just do what you do in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I had to get myself together. Now, my favorite part of this podcast is that we start with era through era.
Okay.
And I want to go back to the little Sarah.
Okay.
Little Sarah Jinks Roberts, like 5, 6-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like baby Sarah Jinks Roberts. And because I really believe that we're all grown versions of our little girl selves. Mm-hmm. We just real tall now. So what were your earliest memories of the little girl version of you? What did you love to do? What could you not stand doing?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in church.
Yes.
So I spent a lot of time in church, and I liked running around the church, running people and things. I used to wake up early and watch cartoons. Mm-hmm. One of the memories that I have is waking up early, watching cartoons, running into my dad and I kind of creating this bond because we were the only two people in the house who were getting up early.
Ooh.
So I remember that. I remember a lot of time at church, but church wasn't, I think, what most people consider when they think like the Jake's name in church. It wasn't a mega church. It was a small family church.
Yeah, because where were you at this time? At like
Charleston, West Virginia.
Yep.
So running around and everyone being like an aunt or an uncle and playing with my church friends. Those are probably some of the memories that I treasure the most from that time.
So it was, at that time, was the church maybe like 100 people? Y'all mm-hmm. talk about it a lot. Like it was
for
a storefront.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is interesting because I'm sure we're going to go through all of the eras, mm-hmm. but I had kind of blocked out everything that happened to me before I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. I think that my like pregnancy was such a traumatic event in my life that I did not remember that there was like a girl before the wounds. Mm. And so I've obviously done a lot of therapy and a lot of trauma work. And those are some of the things that have like come back to me. It's just like remembering that joy, mm. kind of being sassy and like thinking I knew what I was talking about when I didn't, which has probably not changed much.
Get a sassy here. Get a sassy here. I love her.
But yeah, I remember her. I try to hold her close since I lost her for some time.
I love that. And that is the truest statement. Trauma can make you forget all the goodness that existed in your life. And
yeah.
And I love that you said you remember that little girl because there's so many of us that forget that the little girl still needs us too.
Yeah.
And when you think about also like being in your room, you said you woke up early, cartoons on, running around the house. Who were you in your room when the doors were closed? Like at 5, 6, what worlds did you create? Like, do you remember the imagination and where it would take you then?
I'm sure I was singing because I've always had such a passion for music, but music don't have a passion for me.
Well, hey, girl, you can't do everything.
I'm
okay,
sure,
you do so much well.
I'm sure I had a hairbrush. Yeah. I was free. I was singing. I was dancing, swinging on the doors. Like, I'd get on my closet door and, like, cling to it and, like, put my feet on the doorknob and, like, swing back and forth. We didn't have a TV in our room, so, you know, you had to create entertainment. Mm-hmm. So playing with dolls and, like, playing house, those were, like, all of the things when the doors were closed.
I love that. I think... one of my favorite moments is like being a little girl, because even when you watch little girls,
yeah,
they have so much fun
for sure
doing nothing.
Yeah.
They don't need much.
Yeah.
They just are actively always looking for joy and not afraid to get there. And I think they're like, I was the girl that had Barbies and dolls too, but I was hosting stuffed animals. So whenever I would get in timeout, I was hosting talk shows. My mom was like, you can't do timeout because you're not really in trouble.
Right,
you over
right.
here playing games. And I was like, girl, why would you let Bear say that to you? That is crazy. Like, so I think that there's so much safety in that world. And I want to go to the teenage era because I know that is a very traumatic moment for you. You can say, girl, I ain't talking about that. Or you can say whatever you want. Because I know that you have done a lot of work, but you are also very open about it on your podcast, through your sermons. Like, you do not play about that version of you either. And so when you think about that girl, looking back at that time, what narratives did you start to believe about who you were? Mm. What was that time for you, that era? What was happening with you?
So to give context, before I got pregnant, we went from this small kind of, you know, everybody church and you're running around, running your mouth, all those things. Yeah. Right. We moved to Dallas and the first Sunday, 1500 people joined the church. And from there, it just continued to swell. And when I lived in West Virginia, I used to sit with my mom. When we moved to Dallas, they sat on the platform and we sat on the floor. And so Dallas, our initial move, though I didn't have language because I was so young, was really hard. Yeah. And that my life just kind of changed over, literally overnight. And my mom, who I would have considered just like my safety blanket in this big world, there's now separation. Mm. And of course, I don't think they could have known it, and we're kids. And so I don't charge her with that, but that's still a part of like this reality is that my life changed. I think that I had a lot of anger. There were a lot of people who now had projections and expectations. And so at this stage, when I started having sex before I got pregnant, I was ultimately angry and lost and trying to figure out where do I fit in this, but also just recognizing that I didn't fit either. At least like if I would have had some of the like churchier talents, like I could be in the choir, I could have done X, Y, and Z, and maybe that would have given me a sense of belonging, but I didn't have that. And at the time, like, of course, you know, rap and hip hop are really becoming center stage in the 90s. And so I'm like, this passion, this anger, this, you know, ultimately music rooted in trauma was so near and dear to my heart. So I was very much so being raised by the 90s, raised by the culture, and not feeling like I was connected in church at all. So what I was feeling, the messages that I was telling myself at that time is like, you don't fit. There's not a place for you. And so the pregnancy just really further underscored that. You don't fit. And then your dumb purity culture. So on like one hand, I got R. Kelly quite literally in my ear, you know, because his music was what it was at the time. We know it what we huge. Know now.
Exactly.
But at we the time, yeah, I'm like just listening to grown folks music and acting out what I'm listening to. And then also there's this purity culture. So when I get pregnant, it's kind of like if you have to choose a side, you have this baby, you've had sex, you're 13 years old, like you just need to choose whatever this side is. And so I was like, okay, in order to be on this side, I'm going to have tough skin. So I started like practicing hurting myself. So if you have ever had like a wound or a crick in your neck and you start leaning into it, because you're like, the more that I lean into the pain, maybe it'll go away. So I'm leaning into like, you're a slut, you're a hoe, you're dumb. These are all of the things that like I am ingesting to be true about myself, and accepted it as truth because I have this evidence of it. And so that was probably 10 years of my life where I was just like, you're not one of those girls, you're one of these girls. So like, you might as well try and be a video vixen. Like waitressing at the strip club wasn't a big deal to me because like I thought I had to choose a side, and that was the side that made the most sense to me. So that's, you know, the story I told myself and believed for a long time.
So for a decade, those were the thoughts ruminating in your mind. How does that affect your relationship with your parents? Like at this time, you can't, like, it also sounds like you were looking for agency to be like, you can't tell me what to do. I remember being that age too. I remember watching 106 The Park. Child, I used to try to stay up and wait for Uncut After for BET Hours. And I remember like, that was the era of like Kaya.
Tip Drill.
Yeah. When he swiped the girl.
Even BET Uncut is like, you got to be a certain age to even know what we talking about.
Hello? Thank you.
Okay, BET, okay.
Right. Yeah. But there was a time where like that was what everyone thought was cool. Like we were programmed and also given a lot more. I think our parents were working so hard because I'm the same way. My mom love you, mommy.
Yeah.
But she worked so hard and, you know, love my brother and sister. They are here on the set. But I also always felt othered.
Yeah.
I always felt like, well, if I go here, I'll get in trouble. If they do something wrong, I'm the oldest. And if I go here, mommy's going to tell me what I'm not doing right. Let me just stick to myself. And I do remember feeling like maybe boys is where I'll get my attention. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely relate to you on that. But do you think it was like your agency, your power, that was where you were like, I can be here?
I don't know that it was agency from my parents as much as it was agency from whoever they thought the Jakes family was. Mm. Because my foundational years was completely different than who all of these outsiders are, like this, almost like this celebrity, oh my gosh, like you're not supposed, like I didn't even know that there were like stereotypes about PKs until we were in this larger church. Cause everyone where we were in West Virginia was like, they're family, you know what I mean? So they're not like, you're a PK, right? You're a PK. You're a So, you know, I think I wanted to feel like an individual and not just a part of this family that meant something to people, even though they didn't even know what we were supposed to represent. And so, and then my parents were busy. And so I knew that my parents would love me no matter what, but we weren't, I don't think they had any idea what was happening in their world themselves, but it wasn't like anyone was sitting down translating to us what just happened in our world and what matters and what doesn't matter, which is why I am the way that I am with my kids. Like anybody who knows me knows that them kids, they're going to be somewhere close to me and they're going to enter. They have agency to interrupt anything that I'm doing. They'll come get hugs and cuddles because I am their guide in this world. If I don't show them how to see it, if I don't show them how to interpret it, I will leave it up to them and maybe their peers and their friends to express it to them. Yeah. And I don't trust the answers they're going to get. So I'm going to stick beside my kids. There That's you. Like, I don't care what it turns into, how big it is. Like they're going to be within my reach, and I'll get my report card from them in about 20 years and they may tell me like, hey, this was great, this wasn't enough, but I am doing what I can with the knowledge that I have.
I love that. And yes, the babies, especially Kenzie and Ella,
they're gonna be with me.
They're gonna be though.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I am so honored that Kenzie calls me auntie. I'd be like, girl, I'm one of 27, but I'm here, gang gang. And I love how she, like, we were sitting at Hey You, and she was sitting next to me, and just watching her watch you was one of my favorite moments, because she loves you.
That's my girl.
There is a very deep respect, but also pride she has in being your daughter, that I think now I have that for my mom. But when I was younger, I was like, everybody's like, your mommy's so nice and funny. I'm like, She just smacked me yesterday, girl. She ain't all that. But like, but like, you know, it's so beautiful to watch you be their mom and really what that means to you, and how it seems that you are giving yourself freedom to kind of be the person that you needed when you were their age. Is that how you view the parenting, especially for your baby girls?
For sure. I recognize that in order to have access to them, I have to engage in their world. Mm. And so I am, you know, I know all their friends' names and like, oh, what's going on? What's tea? We talk about like your body's changing, like how now, you know, you getting little lumps and humps and stuff. Like, you know, how do you feel about this? And, you know, boys your age are paying more attention to that. And, you know, recognizing what your body represents for others and what it must be to you, regardless of what it represents to other people. Like, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about sex and all of this stuff, because it's just a reality. Like, I think the extent of the conversation that I had with my parents about sex, I'll never forget. Oh, child, church folks didn't want to talk about sex.
They still don't. They're like, what?
Baby. So we were watching The Nutty Professor, and, you know, they were talking about, I think the mom in the movie said something about relations, and it was in my head. I had no idea what it meant at the time because it just didn't make any sense. And then we were driving home from church one day, and my mom was like, girls, y'all know how in the movie that they say something about relations? And we were like, She's like, do you all know what that means? And we were like, no. And she was like, that's how you make babies. And I was like, okay.
And that was it.
Period.
That was it.
That was the whole birds and the bees conversation. Yeah. And so, you know, Kenzie and I, we're talking. I will pause the song that she's listening to, and I'll be like, you hear what she just said? Do you know what that means? That means taking a penis and doing like X, Y, and she's like, that's gross. It is gross.
You don't do it.
Because when they put the sugar over it, it don't sound as gross as it is. But I just went, this is some vulgar music you're listening to. And I use the right words and everything. Not talking about wee-wees and no. I want you to have the real, this is a real thing they're talking about. And I just want you to know what that language is. So while you're sitting there singing it, I just want you to know what you're actually listening to. Because Brother Kelly had us out here talking about nastiness. Hello? And we was just like, it was going with the beat. We didn't know.
We had no idea.
We didn't know.
So many things we had no idea of.
We didn't know.
But no, yeah, I'm glad that you do that. Because I think millennials, especially Black millennials who grew up in the church,
yeah,
we didn't know what was going on. And there was so much shame
for sure
attached to sex and even thinking about our bodies.
Yeah.
As women, I have learned now to have more comfort with my body instead of looking at it as a weapon or a gateway to danger for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm beautiful.
The church was just as obsessed with the woman's body as the culture was. It was just the same, it was a different side of the same coin. Mm. So whereas there was maybe, you know, indecency and there was a lot of exposure and gratuitous conversations about sex and music, yeah, on the other side, like, keep it locked. You don't want to be the lollipop that everyone passes around and then by the end of the day, nobody's going to want you. Yeah. But we're not talking about a woman's identity outside of it existing for, you know, the consumption or pleasure of another individual. Mm. Like, I have a worth and a value outside of my body. And had I known that, I would not have believed that, not only because I've had sex, but because I've got the evidence that I had sex. Because other people were having sex, but they didn't have the evidence. Maybe I would have believed that there was more to me than the fact that I've had sex. Mm. Maybe I would have been more inclined to talk about the worth and the value of my body outside of this experience and not been so promiscuous after it. Because it's like, once the seal is open, nobody's going to want you. You might as well become one of those girls who just make it fun and be, I'm empowered by it and I'm going to do, like, maybe I wouldn't have had that narrative as my only alternative because there are so many other ways of honoring who a woman is outside of her body that I wish I would have had those tools, but I'm committed to making sure that my daughter has them.
I am loving this conversation so much for many reasons, but because you don't judge yourself. It seems like, especially so many, like in therapy, I have learned that I have times where I will talk about like my past and be like, well, I didn't do that. So I clearly was this and that. And my therapist has literally had to be like, hey,
yeah,
who are you? You know, you're talking about you, right? And like, you're still here. And so you needed that girl. And I also love that with all this darkness and these things that you were feeling, God still came to find you.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first moment or maybe a really dark moment in that time where you were like, God still exists for me. God still loves me. Was there a cataclysmic moment in that time that brought you to that realization for yourself?
Well, one, I want to say the only reason why I'm like comfortable talking about it is because I have done a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
I used to hate that I got pregnant. Like, I hated that girl. Like, how could you do it? How could you be so dumb? But when I did that, some like that inner child trauma therapy stuff, I realized like you were not just a girl who was like this perfect little girl and then who fell on something and got pregnant.
Right.
Like, you were angry. You were lost. You were isolated. You were in pain. Mm-hmm. And it helped me to forgive myself and to see myself the way that God sees me. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I had moments where I could feel God's presence, but I don't know that I believe that God's presence could transform me, mm-hmm, even though I could feel it. I think I still felt a little separation because of, you know, my choices.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, I can feel God's presence, but, you know, maybe it's just because I'm in this particular atmosphere and it's just like the overflow of the presence, mm-hmm, for someone else, but it's not this personal invitation that I now know that it was. I was so caught up in performance that it just felt like you didn't perform well. So you can only have whatever's left of, ooh, God's presence, not just a first partaker of it.
Ooh, whatever's left of God's.
Ooh, yeah.
Sarah, that's so real. Because for so many of us, we are thinking like, Oh, wow. She really catching the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That is, she know God. Mm-hmm. Like, that is good. But it's not for me.
Yeah.
When did you start therapy? When was your, like, internal healing journey beginning?
I did a lot of reading first. Like how to feel your emotions, a lot of listening to podcasts mm-hmm. just about trauma and stuff. So I considered that like the beginning of mm-hmm. some of my healing journey because I wasn't necessarily ready to like sit down and talk to a therapist ongoing. I started talking to a therapist ongoing after Woman Evolve came out because like my book, Woman Evolve.
Like, yes. Like just, 2 or 3 years ago. Yes.
Because when my book hit the New York Times bestsellers list, I was like very shoulder shrug about mm-hmm. it. Not that like, it's cool, you know what right. I mean? But like, I don't get excited about much. Mm-hmm. Like nothing really makes me happy. Well, that sounds terrible.
No, but that's a good reason to be like,
something's wrong.
I should go figure this out.
Yeah, one of my friends was like, oh my gosh, like, aren't you so happy? Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know for sure that I know that, like, what happiness feels like. I just felt very disconnected from my present day life. Like, amazing things would happen. And I would be grateful for it, but I wouldn't be, like, blown away, overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, this makes me so euphoric happy. Like, that's just
what it is.
Yeah. Mm. And so I started talking to a therapist because it's like, I feel like there's like this haze in my life. I had to try multiple therapists. There was this Black woman therapist. I think she knew who I was. And I was like, I feel like there's something wrong because like things happen in my life and I have no emotional response. Mm. Logically, I know it's good. Logically, I know I should be happy, but I don't feel happy. Yeah. And she was like, imposter syndrome. And I was like, I don't really feel like an imposter though. Like, it's not it. Like, she's like, classic case, imposter syndrome. And I was like, no, girl, you're not listening to me. You're not listening.
What
to
I
me.
Said was
like, there's a disconnect, and so I started going to a different therapist. We did trauma work,
yes.
And I just realized like I wasn't fully present because I did not have all of my pieces in the moment. But like, instead of telling someone who just like I did a lot of press, I was doing Instagram lives. Like it really yes, felt
I was
like
there. It was me. It was one of them. I was one of them.
It felt like, you know, like. Not that like this is appropriate, but like if you put in a lot of work and
this
you,
is what happens.
Yeah. But when you tell that 13-year-old girl that she just made the New York Times bestseller mm-hmm. list, like that's a different kind of emotional response. Mm-hmm. And so I had to collect all of my pieces so that I could expose all of my pieces to where we are now. And so there are moments now where I can get trapped in the autopilot mm-hmm. and I'm like, take a minute and just like let that 13-year-old girl see her, who God gave her as a husband, mm-hmm. who God gave her as children. Like let that version of yourself see what's happening in your world. And that was like,
life changing.
That takes me somewhere else.
Woo, Sarah. That is beautiful.
It takes me somewhere else. When I'm worshiping, like the girl who didn't feel like she felt in like a part of church, for her to like be able to like worship, like it's very much so like, look, girl, like you can lift your hands, you're free, like that. It just takes me somewhere else.
That's so beautiful. Sometimes I feel like I see that girl. We were there after Woman Evolve, 40,000 people, sold out, Globe Life Field. Girl, we can go there because we have to go there. But we were there the Sunday after me and Gretch came to church. Mm, mm-hmm. And watching you run across the stage, like you literally, like someone was like, coming to guard, 6'2", from Texas, Sarah Jakes Roberts. Now, that's what you looked like. Like, you had so much joy. You were literally, like, beating your chest.
Yeah.
Like, and
I gotta
like,
stop doing that.
No, you don't. Please don't. Don't you ever stop doing that. Me and Gretchen be like, oh, she right. Oh, she outside. Gretchen's my sister, y'all. And so, I love that you got all your pieces. Because you probably wouldn't have been able to even do that had that 13-year-old girl still been like in the background. Yeah. So that's amazing. Okay. So for any girl who is 13 right now and maybe 33.
Yeah.
Or maybe 23.
Or both at the all at the same time.
Or 63.
Period. Yeah.
And hasn't reclaimed that part of herself but wants to start. What is the first thing that she should say to that 13-year-old girl to even make her feel safe again?
I don't think that there's anything you should maybe say as much as you should really zoom out of the picture. Mm. Because we often penalize ourselves based on a moment, but there's this whole scene that if we don't see the scene properly, we judge the moment. And too often we're looking at our lives from one particular scene. It's like turning on the TV and just watching a movie that whatever's on, you don't really, I don't know who the main player is. Like, right. I have no idea what's happening here. But when you zoom out of the picture and you see the full movie, you're like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Mm. And we're judging ourselves without context, without recognizing that, you know, your parents had X, Y, and Z to work with or not to work with, that you didn't have support, that you didn't have the resources, that you felt isolated, that you had so much influence at a young age, but you had no wisdom. Like, you have to see your choices through the lens of context. Because when God looks at your life and your choices, he's not zooming in on one moment. When we talk about God seeing the end from the beginning, he's looking at the full scope of who you are. And because he understands the full scope, that's how he can say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why he can say, my grace is sufficient for you. And our job is to trust what God sees and to believe what God believes about us, because we can get snagged, stuck in the moments that have seemingly shaped us, not recognizing that we can take on a new form. And so I would tell that person to look at your life through the lens of context. Of course you made those choices. Of course that happened to you. That's what happens with these systems and in the generations that we live in. If you look at it in context, there's nothing wrong with you. And there can still be so much growth and freedom connected to where you are now, regardless of what you went through then.
There's so much growth and freedom connected to where you are now, regardless of what you went through then.
Yeah.
Woo. That is really good. I'm just sitting with that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just sitting with her. Yes. Because I think there's a lot of us who replay those same scenes, the same narratives, the same things we have to work through. And the healing journey is never ending. It's one of those things that we could be 63, but someone triggers the 12-year-old version of us because they didn't hold the door. And now, you know, it reminds you.
You hate me.
You hate me. So you
hate
fight,
me,
and you hate me.
Yeah, for sure.
And now I'm hurt, and I can't even go through the door. I got to go back to my car.
I don't want to go. I don't even deserve the elevator. What if I get on the elevator, and the elevator slams in my face?
Oh, you are overthinking too.
For sure.
Well, nice to see you. Because, baby, I can think of anything the wrong way. But I learned, if I can use that power to think everything's wrong, imagine if I use that same power to try and make things right in my mind and in my brain and things like that. When you think about just even now, when you come into this calling over your life, because I know you didn't want to be a pastor.
No.
You were like,
I mean, why? Who would? Like,
people, you know, some people be growing up like, I used to lay hands when I was 6 years
but
old.
But me? Like, why would I, with my history and my... No. God.
Like, literally, no.
Yeah. Like, there are so many other people who I feel are more qualified.
But, he chose you.
Yeah, here I am.
How do you reconcile that in your brain? Because I can only imagine you look in the mirror and you're like, every day, like, sir, you sure?
Yeah.
But that would be me. How do you reconcile that? You are not just a pastor, though. Like, you, Sarah Jakes Roberts, like, the girl's girl pastor. Like, the person that helped people so much that they feel like you are their sister, their cousin, their auntie, their friend. Like replay your sermons on moments where they decide they might not want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Like that type of level of connection you have with people. What is your, How do you reconcile that? What is your viewpoint of that now?
Well, the only reason why I continue to do it is because you can't hear a testimony like that message saved my life and got me out of depression and helped me deal with the grief and to start my business and just like sit on that. Mm. You just can't sit on that. Like, that's what I have to tell myself. You know, for some reason, for reasons I do not always understand. One, I will say, like, when I finally embraced who God is and that God wanted to partner with me regardless of what I bring to the table and don't bring to the table, you know, I say yes to that. Mm. I say yes to that. I could choose other people for him that I think would be better. But for some reason, something happens when I speak. I can't really explain it. I cannot manufacture it. And yet it has been effective in serving a lot of people. And as long as that is the case, then I will continue to say yes to it. I did ask God, please don't let me lose myself. Ooh. Becoming whatever people think a pastor's supposed to be. Like, if there's a way that I can do this and do it in a way that is honest about who I am, because I think I was afraid that I would have to become someone I'm not. Mm. I'll grow. I'll change as you convict me and transform. I'm not locked into this version of who I am, but this is where I am. And if you can meet me where I am and use me where I am, then I'll say yes. And no one is more surprised than myself when God shows up in those moments. Because I'd be like,
again?
That's why we beat my chest, because I'm like, he did it.
What's up?
He's here. He's here. Do y'all feel it? I feel it, yes, in my bones. We stumbled into something. Like, we just pulled somebody out of the enemy's grasp. Mm. Like, somebody's about to get up again. Like, that does something for me that I sure, anytime, any day, give me 10 minutes to get my word, 10 minutes to pray, and like, what's up?
What's up?
And then I can just like go back in my corner and wait until the next moment. Yeah.
That's amazing. I've been thinking about that too, because when there is, sometimes like on my darkest days, I have looked at my own Instagram and I don't always know her.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, I go, oh, straight backs.
Yeah.
I took a shower, but I'm like, I'm feeling gross. I've watched 80 hours of Netflix. I've had to say, are you still watching?
Right. Yes. And stop bothering me. I'll let you know when I'm not watching.
Hello?
That's TikTok does that now. Time for you to take a break. You don't, first of all, you're not the boss of me. I'm so grown.
I promise you, these bills.
I got a charger and my AirPods. Let's keep the good times rolling, honey. Yes.
What's up? But when do you now feel like you can grasp all the aspects of who you are? Like, you have an understanding. You said you went to go recollect yourself. All the aspects. Like, you're like, okay, this Sarah, you need a break because this Sarah needs me right now. Yeah. Like, how does that work mentally and spiritually within all of your responsibilities?
And not to sound totally gratuitous, but that is literally why I wrote the book, yes, Power Moves.
Yes.
Because I would see people like, you're such a powerhouse and you're so powerful. That word was a power. They kept using this word power with my name. And, you know, those were moments for me. But throughout my day-to-day life, like, I knew I wasn't, like, I'm not walking around beating my chest. Yeah. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So I was trying to figure out what was happening in that moment and how I could, like, spread it out into everything else I was doing. And God really showed me, like, it's not what you're doing in that moment. It's what you're doing in these moments that produce that moment. Mm. And so I wrote Power Moves, not just so much about like how to make a power move, but to really acknowledge the fact that power itself is fluid. Ooh. And that what makes you powerful in one moment is not necessarily what makes you powerful in the next, and yet it's still power. So I have been able to kind of collect all of these different versions of who I am, because I recognize that it's just power showing up differently in different spaces. And
it's just so good, because I'm just sitting here like, it really is. I read the first chapter last night, and I had so many, I was like, yep, that's good, that's also good, amen, she doing it again. Like, it was just so great to witness you take ownership of all that you are. And I think you've done it in a way that not only gives us permission to do it, but now you're literally giving us like, this is how I know, y'all, like, this is how I did it. This is what I think about myself. This is what I know to be true. This is what I've learned after being so vulnerable and putting myself out there time after time. You can have it too. And so for the girls who are looking to move from powerless, feeling powerless, to powerful, what is one of those lessons that you even revisit time after time when you don't feel powerful to remind yourself of your own power?
I feel the most powerless, usually in the context of my intimate relationships, where I feel like I am obligated to do something, even if it's not necessarily authentic to what I want to do. And in those moments where I don't know, I'm calling it powerless, but in that moment, I just may feel like inwardly frustrated, or I feel like I'm cheating on myself, or I may see it as people pleasing and just going with the flow, and I would internalize it. But now I recognize that this is something that is making me feel robbed of my power to choose, my power to rest. I feel this power loss. And so I would tell someone who's looking to move from this state of like feeling powerless into being powerful is to recognize that whatever's keeping you from feeling powerful, whether it's you want to make everyone happy or you don't believe that you could actually start whatever God has told you to start, is that like that has power too.
Ooh.
So shame has power, fear has power. And I think we've normalized it so much that we don't recognize that we have a powerful opponent.
Ooh.
Like Luke 10, not to go there.
Go there.
Here we
Hello.
Are.
We here.
Luke 10, when the disciples come back from like going out into the field, I'm going to call it, and they've like healed the sick and they've preached the kingdom of heaven. And they're like, Jesus, like, what is this that you've, this power you've given me? What is this? Like, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus is like, I've given you authority over scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy. Like, the power of the enemy, like, the enemy does have power. It's why the world is in shambles oftentimes. And if we normalize the enemy's power, then we will not fight power with power. And my goal is for us to recognize that whatever is limiting us, whether it is a belief system, a fear, a desire to be accepted, that it has enough power to keep you from being powerful. And when you see it as something that has power, you have to start practicing fighting that power with power. So what do you wish you would have done instead? What do you wish was true instead? You got to start nurturing the power to overcome if you're going to overpower the thing that is controlling the way that you show up in the world.
Got a preacher, y'all. It's a preacher. It's a pastor. No, it's so, so true. I have so much to say. We only have several minutes, so I'm going to keep moving to the next part, which is about love.
Yes.
Shout out to PT, he's
in
the building. I love watching y'all's love. It is beautiful and it's full, but it's like real. It is genuine, and it's amazing to watch what happens in a woman's life when she is loved well.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's a lot of us out here that's like, ooh, if it still exists. Okay, we're all good. It's fine, guys. We can still do it. What has your love given you that you are deeply grateful for, that you are just, you can't even like fathom it? I know that's a long answer, could be years, but what comes to mind first when you think of what love gave you that life tried to take away?
Mm. Gia, I just want to make sure that I answer honestly because, I mean, the first word that comes to mind is peace. Mm. But courage. Mm. I think courage. Mm. So PT is my best friend. And like that, he my...
Yo, yo.
Okay.
Okay. Yo, DEI.
So... So there is an undeniable companionship and friendship that we have, but PT gave me a lot of courage. I was like doing my thing when I met him. I was a single mom with my two kids. I'd bought my own house. Yes. And so I had a sense of like confidence and I had peace too, but, he's given me peace and purpose. I think that I was conditioned to believe, probably because of my background, that moving in purpose is going to cost you your family. It's going to cost you peace. It's going to cost you like all of these different things.
You're loud.
Oops.
Very loud, but keep going.
And so I thought to myself, like, if I could just keep my life the way it is as a single mom with these two kids, then I can protect this. And PT gave me the courage to believe that I could have all of those things and lose nothing.
Ooh.
And so, and I think he created that. I mean, one is the church where I started preaching, which is like, if there were anywhere for like the bad girl of the church to start preaching, it would be one. Because one was like, girl, we will take you just how you are. Like,
come on up here, baby.
But if you will take us how we are, we will take you just how you are. And they let me stumble and bumble and find my way through speaking. And so, but he created that space. And because he created that space, he cultivated a space for me to experience my anointing with courage. And so now he gave me this confidence that like, I know that what God gave me works. And now I've had to test it in some other rooms outside of one. And I learned that it works anywhere that God sends me. And so I think my answer to someone who was looking for that type of love, right, is to find someone in their purpose. Because he said yes to who he is in God, because he said yes to his purpose, our destinies collided in a way that allowed us to be multiplied. And so it may look different for whoever, but I would say find someone who's in purpose because I think that there's a reconciliation that is available to both of you when you're both living a life that is in purpose.
Beautiful. And we see it every time, y'all, when you run off stage and hug him, when he comes off stage and gives you a kiss, it's just like, y'all are meeting each other at every moment. And there, it looks so safe.
Mm.
It looks so good. It looks so inspiring. And it looks like evidence that love still matters.
Yeah.
In a world when social media kind of is like very much like, girl, I don't do cheesecake, Olive Garden, we can't even get to the date, honey. We can't even start there. Like, first of all, cheesecake is popular.
Right.
Wow. Like, cheesecake.
That brown bread, don't sleep on it. Y'all are not too good for that brown. Stop it.
Stop
it.
You know you're getting that bread.
Stop it.
Oh, I'm talking about something you can't go. Please, take me. I know. But no, people often ask about Sierra's prayer, but I want to know Sarah's prayer because you went through a lot in love and relationships, and you have to go through a lot of work to believe that you deserve good, healthy love. What were you saying to yourself? Because I'm sure meeting someone who's not only in their purpose, has a church, doing all these things, believes in you, is jarring to someone who might have not experienced that before. People are struggling to receive healthy things, good things, believe that they even deserve it. What were your prayers and your mindset during that time to even be able to receive that type of love?
Lord, don't let me mess this up. Mm. I've said this on my social media, like it is so much easier to like be in relationship with somebody who's toxic than it is to be with someone who like wants to do the work. Because as long as you're toxic, like I can expect nothing from you and you won't challenge me.
You won't get me.
Like you're not going to... I know you didn't say nothing to me. For what? But then when someone is like living a life of like doing the work and I want you to challenge me and I want to be able to challenge you, like that's different.
Mm.
And I didn't want to mess it up in that I did not want to be so stuck in my ways that I miss out on an opportunity to grow in my ways. Mm. And it takes a lot of humility to let another imperfect person show you the areas where you could grow.
Yeah.
And he's open to hearing it too. It's not like this relationship where he's just like telling me, like, he's like, what do you think I could do better as a father? What do you think I'd do better as a husband? I'm never asking those questions.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I'm doing the best that I can. Okay.
With what I got.
But so my prayer was, Lord, don't let my pride from being in relationships where I was always right keep me from seeing the areas where I can grow. Mm. And don't let me become so afraid that I'm going to lose myself that I miss out on becoming the best version of myself. Because those were like real realities for me.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm glad you prayed that prayer and that you were able to receive it, because clearly it led to so, so much. So we will end on this latest era, which I have just loved watching you flourish in, honey. It is just so beautiful to watch.
What are we calling
this era? What would you call this era of your life?
Oh.
Yeah.
You were supposed to, aren't you?
Power. Moves.
We'll call it the power.
The power era?
We'll call it the power era.
I would call it the power era for sure. Because I feel like you've done it now for 10 years.
Oh my word.
Isn't that crazy? It's
crazy.
Right. And you good at it too, like Miss Mayo. But you've done it now for 10 years. It seems like you have the right people around you. You have the love. You have your family. But you also have you.
Yeah.
Like, you not playing with you. Mm-hmm. And I remember being there at Women That Are, the last Women That Are at Loose. And watching that moment with you and Bishop, where he passed you the torch, was a blessing. But the thing that changed the game for me was watching you, even though your whole body was shaking and you were not ready and you were crying, but you got up anyway and you walked to that stage and you accepted all that now is Woman Evolve, all that was coming to you. What do you hope people take away from watching you step towards the fullness of who God says you are, despite the fear or the doubt or the anxiety that you may be experiencing in real time? What do you hope they take from watching you continue to put yourself out there?
I hope that people take away from my journey that power is not about perfection, that it's not about doing everything right all of the time, but it is allowing yourself to be the fullness of who you are, which means that, like, I'm sweet and spicy. Mm. I am simple and complicated. I'm fun and I'm serious. I'm this beautiful mix of all of the good things and some of the bad things. And I see all of those parts and I'm okay with that. I can apologize. I can create a boundary. I can assert myself. I can fall back. Like, I've got dexterity, and I believe that that's what power is all about. It's not about I'm confident all of the time or that I just come into the room and command attention and take up space. It's not arrogance. Real power is a deep knowing that you can be anything at any given moment, and that's okay because you're never outside of a space where God can't reach you. Mm-hmm. And as long as God can get to you, power can get to you.
Power moves, ladies and gentlemen, power moves. The last question that I always ask at every single interview is about the sacred space between who we once were, who we are now, and who we want to be. You have gracefully powered through all of these eras. What is the most important thing that you tell yourself, that mantra that carries you through every era, through every time, that brings you back to you?
Just be yourself.
Mm.
Just be yourself.
Everybody else is taken.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, there's, like, who I am, and then there's, like, this idea of who I am. And sometimes people scare me when they're like, Sarah Jakes Roberts is coming and like, she's going to do this. She's going to tear up our edges. And she, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be preaching. They'll be like, let's go. And I'll be like, let's go. No,
let's see.
Let's see. Okay. But just be yourself. When I'm going into meetings, when I am speaking in spaces that are different from me, when I'm doing interviews, when I am parenting my children and I don't have the answers, when PT wants something from me, I'm like, just be yourself. You don't have to be who they expect you to be. Just be yourself. And if you are just yourself and you ask the silly questions and you say the weird things, like, it's okay. Just own all of who you are.
I love that. And that's your daily practice for yourself. Just, I heard you say prayer,
yeah.
Bible,
mm-hmm.
reminding yourself of who you are. Is that, that's pretty much
for sure
how you keep you.
Yeah. Mm. And then, like, I think because I am a pastor, oftentimes when I'm in scripture, sometimes I'm like, hearing like, this would be a good message for someone. Mm. But then I have to ask myself, like, but what message do you want to hear? Because, like, if I just can rest in myself, I can figure out the areas inside of me that need a touch from God, that need to be reminded of God's faithfulness or experience God's spirit. And when I do that, I'm able to receive. But I have to, like, live within myself and not just be on autopilot or doing what's expected of me. Like, I've got to live within me.
Oh, live within you. Well, since you're here, one of our last things that we always do, bring everything,
is we give people their flowers.
Aww.
And here's your flowers. We're going to put it in this cardboard box because we don't want to mess up your nice outfit. But we wanted to get you yellow and white flowers to go with the thing. It might be too heavy, so if you want us to put it on the thing. And one of the reasons why is, like, I always am so grateful that you in particular exist.
Hmm.
You are watching, first of all, I just thank you so much for even allowing me to be your friend. Watching you has directly impacted my life in so many ways that, like, remind me to give myself permission to not only be powerful, but to be a person.
Yeah.
And to be a friend and to be a sister and hopefully somebody wife and a daughter and all the things, because I've watched you do it with so much grace and capacity. And so I want to give you flowers for every era, for the baby version of you that survived and gave me this Sarah here and me and the world this Sarah here. I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you and I will not cry, but Heal Girl Era exists because of Woman Evolve. Like, there are so many of us that have been directly impacted by you saying yes. So for every single yes, for every single prayer you pray, for every single tear you cry, I just thank you so much for saying yes every day because you are changing so many of us. So I just love you so much.
Thank you, Gia.
Yeah. We're going to hug afterwards.
Yes, we
are. But also there's something else I wanted to give you too, because
what?
I know you get flowers all the time. But this is just a little cute representation of a little 10-year congrats on pastoring and changing the world. You can eat your cookies when you're ready.
Aww,
but I love you.
You.
Thank you so much for being here. And just thank you for who you are.
I love you.
I love you, sister. Mm. Y'all, go get Power Moves, the book. Let me grab it. I want to hold it.
Y'all make sure you go get Power Moves. It is coming April 30th.
April 30th.
Everybody go get Power Moves.
I got to get on my mic. Everybody go get Power Moves. It is available April 30th. Clearly power has moved in this amazing woman's life, but this book is going to be so, so powerful. So thank you all for tuning into another episode of Heal Girl Era. Thank you, Sarah Jakes Roberts. I love you. Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I loved it.
We had a run, honey.
Yes.
You got to come back anytime. Thank you all so much. Make sure you subscribe, like, rate, comment, and share if this gave you anything you needed. We'll see you next time.
Oh, wasn't that so amazing? Thank you all so much for tuning in to a very special episode of Healed Girl Era podcast. As always, you can like, share, rate, and subscribe, but please be sure to pre-order and purchase Sarah's new book, Power Moves. It drops April 30th, and it clearly is going to be a blessing to so many of our lives. And y'all do not want to miss a Woman Evolve conference at all, but especially not this one coming up in September. Please be sure to head to womanevolve.com to purchase and register for the September conference. So much goodness happens in that room. I know 40,000 people might sound intimidating, but there is nothing like that experience. So be sure to register for Woman Evolve Conference. Subscribe here for more. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Healed Girl Era Podcast. See you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TeladocHealth/whatsyourwhy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.